my wall in my office. It's something that reminds me that life gets hard sometimes, but God's still good through every circumstance. Isn't that true? Some of us can say it. Some of you might be going, I don't feel that way today. Hopefully by the end, we can look to him. But the question I want to answer today is this. We go back a bit. Is how can we live with purpose and hope in difficult and unexpected situations? You know, because sometimes following God, especially if you're a Pentecostal, it's a little bit of, oh, we name it and claim it. We try and blab it and grab it, but it doesn't always work, does it? And you try all this stuff and it goes on, but sometimes you do everything right. You can live the life that you seemingly follow God's word, but things don't work out for you. Has anyone ever found that? Your best laid plans. England had a plan yesterday in the rugby. Okay, best laid plans and all that nearly got us. But sometimes in life, we have unexpected turns. We have situations we find ourselves in and we can say, God, where are you? And our expectations of what we expected in life and what God said he's going to do are different. And it's those times that it's really hard to live out God's plan. And this, in my theme of Jeremiah, I've been talking about living in God's plan. How do we live in those moments? How do we go in those moments? So Jeremiah, he was speaking to the people of Judah. And the people of Judah is basically North Israel, or South Israel even, around Jerusalem. They kept messing up. They kept rejecting God. They kept worshiping idols. At least a lot of them did. God gave them several chances. But enough was enough. And in the end, God says, you know what? I've given you chances. Not everyone, you've got to remember here, was a bad person. But the government certainly was at that time. And he turned around and he said, I'm going to hand you over to the Babylonians, to your enemies. And this is what it says in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 37, talking about King Jehoiakim, the last king of Judah. He said, "This he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestors had done." And God had warned Judah over and over again through Jeremiah and said, guys, you know what? You need to listen or there's going to be consequences. Jehoiakim, I'm rubbish at pronouncing names. He didn't listen. And this is what's described as what happened next. If you're following in Jeremiah 52, these are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away to captive. In the seventh year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year, Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away the captives from Jerusalem, 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, something else, I can't pronounce that name, the captain of the guard, got carried away a captive of the Jews, 745 persons. Of all these persons, there were 4,600. So what happened was the Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, whoops, dropped my stuff here. He turned around and he came in and he captured Jerusalem. And he took away 4,600 Jews into captivity. Now, this was Nebuchadnezzar's plan. If those of you who don't know about Nebuchadnezzar, go down to the British Museum, you'll find out more about him. But he used to love to take the best of the best with him to work. And this is when this time happened. He took away all the guys. And there's one guy in particular who he took away, who some of you might know about. It was Daniel. Often we read the Bible in separation, but they overlap together. And Daniel was one of these guys who when they're described in the Bible as being a really good guy, but he ends up being taken away as a captive. Imagine you did everything right. You were following God amazingly. You did absolutely everything perfectly, but then you suffered because of some other people's situations. You'd be quite angry, wouldn't you? Some of you might have felt that way before. Look, I won't talk about our current government. Okay. But here's Daniel. He's in captivity in Judah, and I encourage you to read the book of Daniel. And he's, we're with the Babylonians, finding himself away from home, taken away from everything he knows, different food, different culture, different languages, different religions, different etiquettes, different way of doing life. His life was turned upside down. And Daniel, if you read Daniel chapter 9, we kind of expect that He was thinking that at one time, God is going to come in and God is going to rescue him. See, the Babylonians were a really, really successful force. They captured a lot of land. They built great empires. They were famous for the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient earth. And here, you had these Jewish people sitting in Babylon, saying, God, please, can you come and can you rescue me? Please, God, can you come and get me out of this situation? Daniel's finding himself in a whirlwind. Everything is turned upside down for him. One day, he's a good Jewish boy in Jerusalem. The next day, he's in Babylon. And he would be praying, God, come on, please rescue me. It talks throughout the book of Daniel about him praying and facing Jerusalem, calling on God to come and get him out of his situation. Have you ever been in that place where you've been praying for God to get you out of it? Some of us have. Some of you have been in worse places than I could imagine. And this is the setting for Jeremiah chapter 29. You know that lovely, hopeful verse, God's got a plan for you. At this time, I don't think Daniel thought God had a plan. At this time, I think Daniel would have been, God, where are you? Why have I been taken away from everyone? And while Daniel's in captivity, Jeremiah chapter 29 is a letter from the prophet Jeremiah to the captives in Babylon. And this is a letter. It says this in Jeremiah 29 verse 1. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, to the prophets and all the people Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is a letter that Jeremiah was writing to all of these Israelites who found themselves in Babylon. You know, a lot of the times there were prophets going around that time, they were saying, you know what, everything's going to be fine, everything's going to be fine. You know, you see them everywhere, don't you? You get the guys, you pay them a bit of money and they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. And there was a lot of those prophets around at this time. And a lot of the prophets were saying, do you know what, guys in captivity, you're fine, you're sorted. God's going to get you out in a year or so. No problem at all. And then here comes Jeremiah, and Jeremiah writes to them. And he tells them something that they didn't want to hear. So what he says, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Now imagine you're sitting in your situation here, like these guys, and they're sitting there going, God, come rescue us. God, come rescue us. The other prophets are going to say to you, you know what, God's going to free you within a year. It's going to be amazing. And then you get this letter from Jeremiah, who's been a pretty accurate prophet so far. And he says to you, guys, just settle down and get used to it, because you're not going to leave for a while. How would you feel? I'd be rather irritated. I'd be like, get behind me, Satan. I'm going to listen to the other prophet. What he says is so much nicer than what you say, Jeremiah. And we've got people like Daniel, who, as I said before, he was following God. He was doing things right, but he was reading this letter as well. And God was saying to him, you know what, Daniel? Settle down where you are, live where you are, pray for the prosperity of the place you're in, because you're not going to come out for a while. And you know what? Sometimes it's so hard to live the plan that God wants for us that we don't want for us. It's really hard to do this. To settle down, to be successful, succeed where God has planted you. A paraphrase of these verses might sound like this from God. You may not like where I put you, but make the best of where I placed you right now. And the situations where they were in, they found themselves in Babylon, God was saying this, make the most of your opportunities where I've placed you. Can I be really honest? I think this is one of the hardest passages to follow in the Bible. You know, sometimes we love to quote it when it says, I've got plans to prosper you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope. I love that bit, okay? That bit's really good. You know, if you could delete all the other words, you'd delete it and just hold on to that promise. But the hardest bit I find here is that God says, you know, where I placed you, I want you to be fruitful, even if you don't want to be where I've placed you. You know, at Elam Conference this year, only Elam Conference, at Limitless, the youth festival, Elam's youth festival, we had this couple come onto stage and share. The name is Andy and Emma Davis. At the age of 33, he was in a local Elam church. They were involved in church. Life was okay. You know, sort of going through the motions, professional, went to church on a Sunday. And at 33 years old, Andy had a sudden stroke. And he ended up with locked-in syndrome. You can imagine what they would have gone through as a family. All their plans, all their hopes, all their dreams absolutely sort of shattered. And it's really interesting because he shares so honestly. And for the notes that I've got at the back and online, you can read the story. But this is what they said in an interview. Within the first year, we did believe that Andy was going to be fully healed. We'd not given up that faith or hope, but we were coming to see that perhaps it was not going to be the way that we expected. Also, we believed that God is using us in a way that he would not be able to use had we not been in this situation. When I read those words, I was blown out. I thought, wow. A situation which was so different. They got angry at God. They went through really tough times. But this incredible couple are holding the tension between believing that God can do a miracle, but making the best of where God has placed them right now. And I'd encourage you to look into their story. He's got a great book out as well. You can buy it online. Because the way God is using them has been absolutely incredible right now. He's been off to Bible college and he's been speaking at places. They've opportunities to get money as well and to work. And God is working in incredible ways in their life. But I look at them and I see a couple who are living out this passage in Jeremiah 29. That life is not gone the way that they wanted or expected, but God is still using them in the place that he's placed them. This is a hard place to be. But I believe as Christians, we live in this tension of now but not yet. So we believe God is going to restore the world. We believe God is going to move. But actually, sometimes we have to wait for God to do what he's going to do. And the problem is, it's all right me saying, oh, let's just wait, have faith. But tell you what, when you're in that place, it's really, really hard. It's really challenging. But even in seasons of pain and waiting, guys, I want to say today that there is hope. This is what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10 to 14. When he says to the Israelites, he said, sit there, wait, you have children, be prosperous where you are, pray for the prosperity where you are, because you're going to be here for a while. But he still gives them hope. And he says, you know what? There is still hope. He said, for after 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill the good promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you in from all the nations and the places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. I love that passage. I love how it's phrased in the King James Version. I got it in today, Alex. I'm sorted, okay? It says this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do you know the reason I love that King James Version? Is when we're walking through the valley, often we think that God's forgotten us. But it says here, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Say to the person next to you, God's thinking about you. God's thinking about you. It's not just plans, okay? It's the thoughts that he has for you. You know, God is constantly thinking about you. Even when you're walking through that challenge, even when you're walking through the struggles, God has not forgotten you. He is constantly thinking of you. He is constantly with you in those seasons. And even when they felt like God had abandoned them and left them in a foreign country, God hadn't. They were still in God's thoughts. This wasn't permanent. Even though God said to them, now is not the time. Even though God said to them, get used to where you are for this season, God was still with them. God was still thinking of them. And God says, there will come a time when I will take you out of Babylon. Guys, I want to say to some of you today, with the situations that you're in, there's going to be a time when God is going to take you out of your time of Babylon. It may be hard to wait for that time, but he's not forgotten you in the waiting. And I just want us to think of three just practical things, of things we can do while we're waiting. Things that don't just, when someone taps on the shoulder and goes, oh, I'm thinking of you. You're great, I'm thinking of you, but I'm still in the pain. And there's three things I think we can put into practice today. The first one is this. In seasons of waiting, look for opportunities. Can we say this together? In the season of waiting, look for opportunities. God is still going to do a miracle for them. God is going to bring them back to the place they desire to be. But while they were waiting, he wanted them to look at what they could do today. I hate wasted time. I don't know if anyone else hates wasted time. If I think I have wasted time, I get so frustrated. I have removed that many apps off my phone recently because if they distract me. So if you want to message me, don't get in touch with me through Facebook because I won't have Facebook on my phone. Because you know what happens? You go on there and 20 hours later, you're still looking through and you're still liking on the same stuff. I got Kim and Michelle to let me know what's going on Facebook. It's all right. But if I go off to a doctor's appointment, I always take a book with me. It sounds really bad. I want to look sophisticated. And if you go to the doctor's surgery and people are all on their phones, I'm thinking they're all on Facebook. I tell you what, you pull out a big book, everyone thinks, there's the person, okay. So that's what I do. So wherever I go now, if I go to a coffee shop, I don't want to look like I'm everyone else, and I've always got a book with me. Those who have met me in a coffee shop will tell you, I've always got a book. It's just to make me look clever. I've got a clever family around me. I need to do something to help myself. But the reason I always take a book with me is this. It's because there's nothing worse for me than just sitting, wasting time. You know when you sit there and you know you've got an appointment coming up, and I see people there, and they're bored, and they don't give you magazines anymore since COVID, do they? You haven't got anything to read, and you're sitting there, there's only so much of those leaflets you can read. And I take a book because I just hate wasting time. I want to do something practical. And some people love wasting time. And sometimes we can be like, God, you know what? When you do this for me, then I will help you. And God says, no. He says, when you're in your situation right now, what can you do? What can be the thing that you pray for your situation? What can you sow into the ground? What can you difference can you make right now while you're in the time of waiting? A while ago, I heard a story, and it's one of those stories I couldn't forget. It was about a church that were doing a lot of missional stuff, and they were encouraging people to be missionaries. And one of the couples in their church, their young daughter, got really ill. And I think she's about 4 or 5 years old. And she was going a few times a week to the hospital for treatment. And I don't know what you would have been like in that situation, but I think I would have been like, God, you know what? I'm doing enough for you just taking my kid. I'd be end of my tether. But this couple, while they're in the hospital, they saw need for the families around them. And they started speaking to their local pastor, and they started speaking to the church. And they started building relationships with people who were in the church, in the hospital with them, in the same situation. They started sharing their faith. They started building up a community within that hospital where they did carol services and other outreaches at different times to help the kids who were in there, but also to reach the families with the love of Jesus. And in the end, they saw multiple families become Christians. I look at that family and I say, wow. In their season of waiting, they didn't look, say, God, when you do this, then I will do this. They said, God, while we're waiting in our Babylon, we're going to find opportunities for you. And I want to encourage you today. Some of you feel, I don't want to do it. You know what? Don't do it. That's fine. But I want to encourage you that if you want to be used by God, don't just wait for the times to be perfect. What has God given you right now? What position has God placed you in right now? The difference you can make could be absolutely incredible. The next thing is this. Don't give up on your miracle. Say this to the person next to you. Don't give up on your miracle. Naomi and myself, we always have this saying in our house. We always, whenever we talk together, you know when you have those days when you're really grumpy or you do something and you're fed up, okay? When you're ready to put the kids up for adoption or something like that, okay, when they've done stuff. And they're not here today, so that's all right, I can get away with it. Me and Naomi always say this. Don't quit on a bad day. Don't quit on a bad day. Don't quit on a bad day. Whether we're grumpy about work, hobbies, friendships, whatever it is, we'll say this to each other. Don't quit on a bad day. Don't give up to your miracle because you've had a bad day. Don't give up on your miracle because you've had a bad week. Don't give up on your miracle because you've had a bad week, a month even. You know, I get frustrated, just like all of us, when God doesn't quite do things the way that I want him to. Because, you know, there's so many times I'm like, God, you know what? I know what I'm talking about. You don't. Yeah, some of you have been like that. Let's be real. But if God has promised you something, and I'm not just talking about the prophet who promised you you're always going to get the parking space at Sainsbury's every single week. But if God has promised you something genuinely, he won't forget that promise. He won't forget that promise for you. You know, in Luke chapter 2, we see the story of Simeon, who was a prophet, who God said he would see the Messiah before he died. And just before he died, he saw Jesus, and he dedicated Jesus in the temple. Why? Because when God gives you a promise, he will not go back on that promise. And I want to encourage you today, don't give up on your miracle. Don't give up on what God wants to do in your situation. Can you say to the person next to you again, don't give up on your miracle? Because there's some of you who need to hear that today. I really believe that. And the final thing is this, and we're going to explore a bit more next week. Listen for God's voice in your situation. Can we say this together? Listen to God's voice in your situation. This might seem sound counterintuitive from what I've just shared, but I want to encourage you to listen to what God says in your situation. Just because God does a miracle for one person whose situation was similar to yours doesn't mean that's the miracle that God's going to do for you. God may have something better for you lined up. For some of those reading this Jeremiah passage, the reality is they were going to die before this promise came to fruition. There's no record that Daniel ever made it back to Jerusalem. Someone's probably going to tell me there is in a minute, but I don't think there was when I looked into it. We need to hold on to the miracle that God can do in our lives. But we also need to be aware that there is a time and a season for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about a time for everything. And whilst we hold on to God's miracle, we also need to be honest and say, what is God actually saying to me in this situation? We need to understand that God's plans are not always our plans. Guys, as Christians, we need to make sure that we don't give false hope to other people where we shouldn't give false hope to them. I'm not talking about being a pessimistic person, okay? But we need to be very careful that we don't say, oh, God's told me that you're going to be the prime minister when they're not going to be prime minister. Or don't turn around and say to someone that God's definitely told me you're going to be healed from cancer when he hasn't said that. There's a difference between a hopeful word and a helpful word. Because you know, it's not easy. But we need to listen to God for his direction, for his input. When we say, God, I choose to trust you. I love Michael's testimony earlier. Wasn't that great? how God is working through their situation. And if you talk to them, they share over, Michael and Julie share over and over again about the faith they've got is incredible. There's so many more of you who've got that same faith. But listen to God's voice for your situation. God may be telling you something different to what he's telling other people. And the thing about us, though, is being part of a church family here is about us helping to carry each other's burdens. It's about us getting alongside each other and supporting each other. And I want to encourage you today that if you're on the fringes of church, if you're on the outsides of church right now, you sort of come to church, then you leg it afterwards before anyone can speak to you. I know the people who get out the door before I get out the door. I don't know how they do it every Sunday. It must be rapture. Okay. But guys, I want to encourage you to build up relationships. Because the thing that you need during these tough times is you need people around you who will encourage you, who will support you, who will tell you at times that you can keep going for the miracle. The honest friends who can say to you, you know what, I really feel that God is saying this to you. You may not want to hear it, but because I love you, I'm going to say these words. We need those people around us. We need those people to stand with us. This is so important, guys. Guys, this isn't just about quoting the verse. I remember my old Bible college principal, his wife broke her back. And she was at home and he was leading a large church. And he said, people kept coming around to him and they kept saying, God's given me a verse, Jeremiah 29, for I've got great plans for you. And he said, you know what? He said, you won't want me to tell you where I wanted people to shove that verse in the end. Because it's not just about quoting the verse. It's about walking alongside each other and saying that journey is going to be tough, but I'm going to work with you. I think that's God calling right now on the phone. There we go. Don't look at Rose, whatever you do. Don't look at her. Okay. That's cool. No, we love her. Just coming into land, and then we're going to pray. I want to encourage you today, find opportunities in your times of waiting. Hold on to God's promises. Listen to his guidance and build relationships, trusting in God's plan, even when it doesn't align with our own desires. Can we stand together? Just going to invite the worship team up.